Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live. Welcome to Ed McMahon. No, it's actually Brian Beebe, your sidekick, who just...
You are correct, sir.
...just finished his own podcast because he works alone. He locks me out for that. But I say the more the merrier. Remember that? I promise I won't sexually harass Brian or Mike, our engineer, or anybody else during the show. Today, two more bit the dust. Matt Lauer, the 25-year host of the Today Show, whom my sister loved. And then we had, who else? Garrison Keillor. You know, Garrison Keillor, a Prairie Home companion, went down.
He was already fired.
Oh, yeah. Well,
long gone.
Apparently he was tied to sexual harassment.
Was it?
Yeah. And we're going to get my Aunt Janie on the phone. I don't know if we have yet, Mike. Oh, no, we're still working on it. We're going to set up here.
Garrison Keillor.
Have you, you've not been sexually harassed, because I'm sure you haven't sexually harassed anybody else, not being in the entertainment business, singing, being in music.
We
got to cozy in here.
I've never been sexually harassed, but I might have sexually harassed a few.
You might have sexually harassed a few.
Well.
You're saying in the music business, late at night, after a couple of drinks, you might have... behaved in inappropriate ways.
Maybe,
we don't make jokes about this. Obviously, it's a very serious issue. I don't think I ever did, because I grew up in a very liberal, as they say, home, and my mother was kind of the straw that stirred the drink, and if I would have behaved like that, she would have found out and killed me.
Yeah.
Or just smacked me upside the head.
Yeah.
But I was sexually harassed as a 22-year-old young employee in TV, I will say that, right after college. Yeah, no, I was. I was 22. I was 120 pounds lighter than I am right now. I was in sports, and a 35-year-old female producer. Of course, we're off work, and you know, she's had a few drinks, but she was like rubbing my neck and coming on to me pretty hard, and I didn't really see an attraction, so I didn't like it. So is that sexual harassment? I mean, that's after work and.
Yeah.
After a few drinks, and I just said, well, I just...
The key is, you didn't like it.
That's right. I wanted her to stop. I didn't want her to rub my neck and ask me, you know, what I wanted to do later. You know, and she was coming on pretty strong. Of course, I found somebody else I liked better and went off with her. But won't give me the timetable. But still, that was a form of it. But again, I don't want to suggest that's anything like what happens with males pursuing women, predators, men... Why can it's the old saying, why can't men get mad cow's disease? Because men are pigs.
Okay.
Is my aunt on the phone? No, not yet. You don't have the phone number?
I'll pick up.
Or she won't pick up. I'm going to have to Facebook my aunt. That's how we've been communicating. And she goes, now what? And I said, well, we'll call. So, this, you know, we're not running a hot dog stand here. Now I'm going to get back on the phone. And, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men, because my aunt has been sexually harassed, as most women, well, almost every woman I know. And if you are hearing this show or seeing this show, call in, because it's a serious issue, has been sexually harassed at some point. I mean, every woman I've talked to, my sister, my aunts, my daughter, they've always, at one point or another, they've been sexually harassed. Do you think
you are correct, sir.
Do you think that's exaggerated, Brian, or do you think that's...
No, I think they know when they're harassed.
Yeah.
So if they're saying they're harassed, they probably...
I'm going to say to my aunt right now, you aren't, is that right, you aren't picking up? Or did I give you the wrong number, Mike? You think it's possible? Anyway, I'm going to say you aren't picking up. There we go. Anyway, so yeah, but it's serious. It's a serious issue.
Is that your aunt in the picture there?
That's my aunt, yeah.
Italian?
She's 3 years older than you.
Yeah.
But she is Italian, and she's very attractive, which, you know, enhances the opportunity for her to be harassed, obviously. Remember the movie The Firm with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
That was based on the concept of having assistants or secretaries, I guess, in those days, who were somewhat obese and, you know, challenged cosmetically because they didn't want the lawyers to be tempted by them. Does that make sense?
No.
Oh, no. They didn't want the lawyers to hit on their secretaries. That's what that was the whole point.
Yeah.
They wanted somebody there that was maybe larger than the attorney, yeah. You know. All I'm saying is this. This idea that we as men can't control ourselves in the workplace if a woman is there and is attractive is kind of, it doesn't say much for us, does it, as a species?
No, we're
it says we're looking, just animals, we're predators.
We look pretty bad right now.
Yeah, I mean, don't we know that, you know, things have to be done appropriately after work? I mean, I get an, when I was 25, I think I, in 24, I hit on, or not hit on, I asked out an intern, you know, as you might say, who was 22.
Okay.
But I wasn't 32 hitting on a
14-year-old.
14 or 16, which they say that Roy Moore did. And that's creepy, isn't it? I mean, but I mean, Hollywood stars, you know, we know that they had age difference, like Frank Sinatra and Mia Farrow, there were a 30-year difference.
Jerry Lee Lewis and that
13-year-old. Jerry Lee Lewis, I think daughter was. Wait, do we have the wrong number? Or
there she is.
I'm sorry? She's Dick, not on the phone?
Dick Albert is on the phone.
Dick Albert is on the phone. Hello, Dick Albert. How are you?
Hi, buddy boy. Good. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I just want to make sure that you have never sexually harassed or have been sexually harassed, because when I once said on the radio, I want a former girlfriend to call me. You called. You know, it sent a wrong signal.
I understand. No, I had never been sexually harassed. I mean, not even close. And honestly, you know, I thought through the years, you know, did I ever, could I ever, when things were different? And no, it never happened. Thank goodness it never happened. Do you wish it had happened, Rich? Well, I don't want to say
Dick,
that.
Dick? Well, actually, here's the correct number, Mike. I don't know what's going on there. Yeah. Go ahead, Dick. But we're trying to do some work with my aunt here. I get her on the phone because I know she has been... Here, let's pass it on to Ryan. This is live radio at its best. But, Dick, it's a serious issue. We had some fun because you called me at that time, but you've been in the workplace in a lot of places, and you've probably seen some... questionable behavior, haven't you, by some male colleagues, at least?
Oh, I mean, I've certainly seen things, and things have happened that I've found out about you know, about people, men and women.
Yeah.
And, I mean, things are so different just in the last 2 months.
Oh, boy.
Not that anything is right and proper, because it isn't, but... you know, I've done a lot of thinking about this over the last couple of months, and I really understand the point of view of the woman not coming forward. It's a very, very tough thing for them.
Well, that's right. It's scary because of the power of
right,
men.
Right, and not knowing what's going to happen, and that's why things are happening now, because women are realizing that, look at this. I can tell my story.
Yeah, it's high time, isn't it? High time.
Let's, yeah, and thank goodness.
And hold on, Dick. We're going to go to my Aunt Jane Matranga from Bloomington, Indiana. Hello, Jane.
Hi, Mitch. How are you?
How are you? And sorry, we had trouble connecting in the first few minutes, but we got through. And every woman I've talked to in recent days and I've seen on television, they've all said that they've been harassed at some point. I mean, or they'll say, of course I was harassed. I mean, it's just like a matter of course.
No, we've lived through it for decades and decades. I mean, in my life, it's been pervasive. Just think what it was in, you know, prior to the mid-century and the last and the 19th century. I mean, it's just more horrifying than you can even contemplate.
Yeah, and you've got your own experiences. You don't have to go into great detail, but I mean, I'm sure you've had your own encounters along the way, right?
Well, I mean, I can vaguely remember some times walking in New York with, you know, dudes that are workmen and they're yelling at you and that sort of stupid stuff. But the one I texted you about that is actually kind of funny, and it it goes with my philosophy about all this, and I'll go into more of that in another instance, but this was in, I was fresh out of college. So this was either 1971, the first year out and working, or maybe 72, 73, I don't remember. But I was working at the Indiana State Office Building, and I was walking down the hall, which I did often to go to somebody else's office, some other department to pick up something or whatever. And there was this particular man who, whenever I would encounter him coming in the opposite direction, I noticed that his eyes were not meeting my eyes. They were meeting my breath.
And yeah, that's never good.
You can imagine, it made me very uncomfortable. I was 22, and I thought, well, this is disgusting. And it went on and on, months and months and months. Every time I encountered this person, that's where his eyes would fall. And I finally decided, and I guess I'm just spunky, even at that tender age, but I thought, well, you know what? Turnabout's fair play. So the next time I was walking toward him in the hall and encountered him, I let my gaze go down to his private part.
Oh, well, turnabout is fair play.
Well, yes, and he never did it again.
Ah, well, no.
He knew what it felt like all of a sudden.
Oh, boy, well, I guess he would.
And so that's my little story that takes me into my philosophy about this.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I think men need to kind of be trained. And so I think women, even though it shouldn't be women's responsibility, those confronted, the mothers of those perpetrators, whoever, it is going to fall on us for probably generations to come. And I think in the first instance, if you're confronted by something, I think you need to speak up right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard you talking about the woman who touched
your
neck.
Yes, when I was 22. Yeah,
right. That's gross. And but you know, for whether it was you as a guy or a woman, if you're touched like that, think of Bush doing the shoulder massage with Angela Merkel.
I mean,
you know,
93 years old, apparently,
right.
He's doing that. Yeah.
She recoiled, but put that instance for just anybody. The woman should have reeled around and said, do not do that to me. You don't have a right
don't
to
don't touch me again, Poppy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You're not in the CIA anymore.
Well, I'm talking about W did that to Merkel.
Oh, W was rubbing her shoulder.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Oh, there's videotape.
Yeah, oh, no, I remember that, yeah.
Right. But, yeah. I mean, if a woman is getting some sort of remark or a touch or anything, well, this is something I said actually to my TA just this afternoon. I said, and this sort of, I'm jumping all over the place. I'm
well,
sorry.
That's okay. Well,
think about the woman who said she was trapped in Roy Moore's car, and he went after her, and she fought him off and got out of the car.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
Any woman that's in that situation is going to fight.
Yeah.
So why not fight right off the bat, whether it's in your window, it's just verbal, blah, 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 blah. Why wait and, you know, hold it in? That's my philosophy.
Well, now it's safer to do it. But no, we say hello to my gentleman friends, Brian and Dick. Dick's on the line. I think they're still on the line.
I'm here.
Say hello to my aunt, Jane Matranga.
Hello, Jane.
Hi, Dick.
This must be a very young aunt.
You're around my age?
Well, actually, Brian is close.
Yeah.
We won't say which side, but it's within.
But I'm looking at your picture, and you're very pretty.
Well, see, I hope that's okay to.
Is that okay to say?
I hope that's okay to say.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, come on.
Okay,
here's another story. I told you in my text, this happened just this month. I'm at our swing dance club, and this man that's in my age group said, we were talking about, you know, we want to dance with all kinds of people, and da, 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 and I wish there were more people our age that danced and everything. And he made some sort of weird remark about, well, you could have a guy in every port. This is what it was. I said I wanted to go to all these different swing dance workshops at, say, Champaign and Madison and Notre Dame and Purdue and da da da. He said, well, you could just have a guy in every port, you know, and just stay with them. And I thought, I knew the minute he said it, this is gross, this is inappropriate, but unfortunately, my 20th century self just went, and I walked away, whereas I wish that my 21st century self had said, you know what, that's disgusting.
Right,
how dare
right.
you say, you know, and so what I'm trying to say is...
Or I said, what century are you living in, sir? You know, come on.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I was my initial reaction was to just placate and to laugh it off, because that's what we've all had to do.
Well,
but
and again,
now,
his intent,
God, women are,
right, and he's an older guy, right? So,
oh, yeah.
So in his mind, he was probably trying to be, thought he was being complimentary, is what I'm thinking.
Ugh.
But it is disgusting. Right, exactly,
no,
right.
You know what, Mitch, I don't think so. I think they're sleazy enough guys.
Oh, yeah? Well, no.
Especially in my generation. He's maybe masking it as that. But what he's trying to make a sexual...
Right, right, which is totally inappropriate. Yes, exactly.
He's entering into sexual dialogue.
Well,
right?
And I must say we have to wrap it up, but I appreciate it very much. I'm sorry we had trouble getting through to you earlier, but I'm glad you came on the show. We'll talk to you again on many other issues. But,
all right, I'm going to keep listening.
You've set the record straight. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Dick
Hi,
Alpert.
Gene.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you have not harassed anybody, and I work with you, and you're always a gentleman at work, and you have not been harassed, which I'm sorry about. But
well, what can I tell you? It's just
that's a sexual remark.
That is, it was
it's
a joke.
The way the women found me. That's all.
Well, you know, there were maybe some moments on campus, but we won't go into that. But anyway,
oh, that's a whole different story.
Yes, I understand. Well, thank you, Dick. It's good
thank
to talk
you,
to you. All right. Sidekick Brian Beebe and I will be back in a moment. Mike Michelson on the phone. Sorry about the delay. No, he's not. So I guess he had to hang up. We'll come back. We got enough to talk about in your calls as well. This is the actually, we have somebody else on the line. We'll come back with that in a moment. This is the Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
Good research will make you wiser and more successful. If you operate a business, create a product, or provide a service, what don't you know that your customers know? There are multiple answers to that question that will help you realize greater success. Troy Research is a consumer opinion market research company that finds answers to important questions. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884, or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Tim sold our new construction house in a matter of hours. And on top of that, we sold it above the asking price. That's a great testament to him. He priced it perfectly and talked about its features to a T.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
This is Kirk Dobinspeck, Badger hockey alum. I highly recommend Tim Rail.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the Comedy Club and at private events for years. whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room. I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch Hanks, Brian Beebe, our sidekick, sitting in. He had a great show at 5 o'clock. I was going to call him Ed McMahon, but he's, you know, he's better looking than that. But before we go to Mike Michelson, we've got Jackie on the phone. We're talking about sexual harassment at work and beyond. Hello, Jackie.
Hey there, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Thank you, Mitch. I sat next to you at a dinner at Pompey Overton
5 years
ago. Oh. Great company.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear it, boy. Oh, boy, I'm relieved. When you said you sat next to me, I started, it was a cold sweat. Okay, but thank you.
Anyway, thank you very much. So, I had a boss, and he had kind of an art gallery, framing business.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we ended up getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I was moving up to the company. And I didn't feel the weekend for Pat at all. I felt like it was just...
more of an organic relationship that you instantly thought was, you know, spontaneous, right? I mean, you had no... Yeah. Yeah, right.
My God.
And I really thought that, I know that this sounds really strange, but it got worse and worse and worse. And I kept thinking, well, I'm going to make it someplace. But it was really close now. It was very close now. And yes, I let it happen. And no, I didn't enjoy it. I talked to my lawyer at one point and talked to someone and they said, you know, this is up to you. And I decided not to pursue it. It didn't seem right. It was very complex and bad.
Wow. Boy, you know.
Well, I would think that once you felt uncomfortable and approached in that way against your wishes, that, you know, I guess the hope is that you can, or anyone can, just put a stop to it right away, or say, stop, this is not cool, and that's it. But, you know, easier said than done, right? I mean, so obviously you were going through a lot of emotional and psychological torment at the time. Oh, I see. So then later, when the harassment continued, what did you do? Oh, you just ignored the overtures, so to speak. Oh, okay. Well, and you ignored him and he went away then? Is that how it was resolved? Yeah. Right. Well, you know. Right. And you were, you didn't expect anything, you know, untoward at the time, it sounds like. I mean, other than, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's certainly a very welcome story in the sense of being a red flag for a lot of people hearing it. And I appreciate you very much offering that, because I'm sure you're not, by far, not the only one who's been in a similar situation. So, and, you know, it's very good to verbalize that kind of thing, you know. And, yes, which, you know, is a warning. Warning to other women to be on guard against that kind of an aggressive male, especially if they're married. I mean, you know, it's just something to keep in mind for people listening. So, and I, yeah, well, thanks for sharing the story, Jackie. Appreciate it. And I wish you a very happy life, and thank you for being so honest. Appreciate that. Thank you. And let's go to Mike Michelson, who's been holding. Mike, if you haven't sexually harassed anybody in the last hour, have you, Mike?
No, Mitch, no. I've been here at home reading, so.
Oh, really? Anything good?
No, just some work and catching up on some reports, some audits that I haven't gotten to. So, nothing
as exciting as the previous caller's story. Say hello to Brian Beebe, who's our sidekick for tonight.
Wow.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Mike.
Mike, I got to ask you, because you're my go-to guy on the right side of the Republican Party. And I was just curious about your thoughts on Trump with the Pocahontas comments, Elizabeth Warren. I had somebody say, and don't take this the wrong way, they said, and I missed this, but somebody said they should bury the hatchet. And I didn't catch it. But even that's going to offend people. You know, we're a little bit on pins and needles, but you don't think it's a problem for the president?
No, not at all. I mean, to be frank, you know, the president is giving it back. You have Elizabeth Warren, who, in order to obtain a job at a university and to maintain that position at a university to gain an advantage, claimed that, you know, she was a Native American and utilized that to her advantage. Now, again, if a Republican, a conservative had done that, Mitch, that would be a daily story and she'd be driven from office. But again, there's this desire on the left, and this is what Trump is challenging. Trump is saying, look, if you want everybody else to be held to these standards that the liberals come up with, then the liberals have to hold their own people to this. Mitch, do I need to say anything more than some of the stuff we've learned in just the last few days about John Conyers? I mean, it is unbelievable.
The underwear man?
Yeah, that you've got people who are going to defend a man who apparently shows up to meetings in his office wearing underwear with, you know, women and men present.
And I don't believe he's probably doing any commercials for underwear, I wouldn't think.
I don't think so, Mitch. And you know, again, and you had Nancy Pelosi, who rushed to call him an icon,
to defend him. Yeah, well, you know, he'd like to think so, but I think it's kind of, you know, it's a cup runneth over. I mean, everything's happening, and today Garrison Keillor and Matt Lauer, I think in the beginning it was Harvey Weinstein. Was he the first to really set this off, Harvey?
Mitch, you had Kathy Lee Gifford today, a prominent, you know, she's been very liberal lately, attacking Republicans. Kathy Lee Gifford said, in response to what we are now learning about Matt Lauer, and now we're hearing it's numerous instances of inappropriate conduct, she said, when I learned of Matt Lauer's firing, I sent a text to him telling him that I adore him.
Hmm.
Now, this is what you see on the left, Mitch. These are the people who supposedly claim they place the issue of women, the treatment of women, at the highest levels. Minority groups at the highest levels, but these are the folks who constantly say one thing and do another, and then say that conservatives.
Well, we don't know. They might have a friendship. She's was on the Today Show with Hoda for a long time, so I'm
right,
sure.
But Mitch, let's be honest here. Every one of his associates tonight, you can go online and look at all sorts of stories. Are saying we heard the rumors. We knew was going on.
Oh, no, I understand.
Mitch, I don't know about you, but I will be honest with you. If I knew of someone that was doing this to human beings, treating them in this way, demanding sexual favors to keep their jobs, their subordinates, these are not people I would choose to hang around
you'd
with.
You'd turn them in, you'd go to the HR.
Absolutely. absolutely. Yeah, and frankly, these are not people that I would call friends. Those are not people I would
I understand.
To hang around with.
My sister was upset about Mark Halperin, and she was upset about Matt Lauer. I think what happens is people get attached to these television personalities over time because they like their politics and so forth, and then they hear these things. And they're disappointed. They're crushed. I mean, that's what happens.
Well, no, what you see, Mitch, is a lot of, and again, this is about power, this is about being elite, a lot of the elite liberals want to tell everybody how to live, but they don't live that way, Mitch. They don't live by their own rules. They, you know, and again, you talk about Matt Lauer. He's on TV repeatedly attacking Republicans, you know, spinning things for Democrats.
But he was tough on Hillary during that debate about the emails.
Mitch, he was tough on Hillary because he asked her questions. And
well,
I wouldn't call
true.
Them tough questions.
Well, she was mad about it. So.
Sure she was mad, and so were a lot of Democrats. How dare anybody ask a Democrat a question that they have to answer?
Yeah. Well, I guess for him that was kind of a surprise. But anyway, no, I know what you're saying. It's hard to find, as you probably know, Mike, you being a conservative. Well, you're from, where are you from originally, up north? Or?
Well, I originally was born in Chicago, but
Chicago.
Was raised in Mosinee, Wisconsin.
Mosinee. Well, there probably aren't a lot of lefties in Mosinee, are there, Mike?
There actually are.
Really?
It was a heavily union town.
Ah.
It's an area that has drifted, you know, once, you know, early on in the 50s and 60s, it was very conservative. Then it became very Democratic. And now it has surged back to the right, which is kind of what we're seeing across Wisconsin. Places that were once very liberal are back to being very conservative.
Mm-hmm. Well, certain places, it's kind of it's hard to find. I mean, in Madison, it's hard to find a conservative. And, you know, certainly in NBC, it's going to be hard to find a conservative. Don't you think, Mike? I mean,
I agree with that, Mitch. But here's the difference. And difference in political viewpoints, that doesn't really bother me. But I think what we're seeing now is you have people like Garrison Keillor who gets fired today.
Mm.
For inappropriate conduct. And you know what he says? I don't care. I'm 75. I'm not even going to respond to it. Now, could you imagine
if
Roy Moore took that attitude or any of the
I don't care. I'm not going to respond. First of all, what are these 75-year-old men thinking? That they're still an item?
Yeah,
I don't get
Charlie
it.
Charlie Rose. Let's talk about Charlie Rose.
Charlie Rose. How old is Charlie Rose? Isn't it like 76 or something?
76, and apparently he needs subordinates to dry him off when he gets out of the shower.
I mean that's just pathetic. It's creepy.
Yes, and Mitch, this is part of the problem. And now, get this. You know, the best part in the last 24 hours, now the icon thing is not working for John Conyers. So two new developments in defending his conduct. And I just use this again. Roy Moore's got issues. It's a serious problem we have, but what we are seeing is a denigration of any kind of standards, because now what we've gone to is tribalism on both sides.
Well, no, I understand. But can't we agree, Mike, that a pig's a pig, regardless of...
A pig is a pig, but to use now, you've got John Conyers, who you've got Democrats now alleging he has dementia.
Oh, I see. There you go. He's got dementia. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, now we have liberals...
Well, he might have it, I mean, but still.
The icon thing didn't work. Now they're going to try dementia.
Dementia, yeah.
And then Clyburn, another representative, raised the issue this late this afternoon that it is interesting to him that all of the accusers were white. So, again, we've gone from icon.
Who said that?
Clyburn.
Oh, jeez.
Representative Clyburn.
Yeah, South Carolina.
Another member of the Black Caucus.
Jim Clyburn,
that issue. Yeah, I mean, we're seeing the progression here, Mitch. Now, again, I would make the point that if conservatives did this in response to accusers, it would be an everyday 24/7 coverage on CNN, NBC, and ABC, and you're not seeing that.
Well, Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly didn't have 24/7 for very long, and they had coverage.
Mitch, please. I mean, CNN, I mean, I think they, if they could have, they would have made that a...
Well, they covered it for a few days, but I don't remember it going forever. I mean...
I think Rachel Maddow had cake on the day those stories broke.
Well, she might have, for crumb's sake, Mike. Well, that's true. In fact, at one point, Matt Lauer grilled Bill O'Reilly a couple of months ago. But
yes. Yeah,
his
people
deal,
forget
yeah.
about that. Interesting how the leches, don't think they're going to get caught. And then this conduct comes out. And again, initially it was one instance, and then now we're learning it's multiple instances that are occurring. And again, how did all of his liberal friends know this, and no one felt at all compelled over some
No, I understand
years?
It's a good question, but are you at all concerned about Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes? And
absolutely. And what happened to them, Mitch?
Roy Moore?
What happened to them? Again,
well, they're gone. I guess
Bill O'Reilly
they are gone.
Made a lot of money and is gone. Roger Ailes, forced Fox to pay a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true. They're gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Is John Conyers gone yet? No. Is you know?
Well, Donald Trump's not gone yet either. I mean,
is Donald Trump gone? I mean, no. These are, you know, and again, we do. There is this argument over words versus actions. You know, you're going to have that debate, and I get that. There's certainly horrible.
Well, I mean, the
say,
accusers in the cases of these men say there was action. I mean, certainly
correct.
All of the accusers in all the cases. So, you know, my attitude is you're going to blame Bill Clinton or believe Bill Clinton's accusers. You got to believe the accusers against Republicans. Anyway, Mike, we appreciate it very much. Thanks for giving us the perspective, which always set me straight when it came to the campaign about Trump's demise, which you always said was not going to happen, and you were right.
Well, and as I said, you'd be ready for 2018. I think the Democrats will find a way to hand us another big victory cycle. After January 1st, you'll see how badly they're fighting amongst themselves. The Bernie Sanders crowd is certainly trying to destroy the Democratic Party from within.
All right, Mike, appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
Keep reading. Let's go back. Curtis Houck in a moment. And then Jed Sanborn on taxes. Believe me, it'll be exciting. The tax part will be exciting. We're going to quiz Brian in a minute on that.
Yeah.
This is the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do? Maybe you got a birthday coming up. You want to get the family together? Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. We book the best comics from Late Night, from Conan O'Brien, from Comedy Central.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience, working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on The Mitch Hanks Show.
Welcome to The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live. You know, all kinds of podcasts, including Brian Beebe, man to my left, your right, who had a podcast at 5, singer extraordinaire, piano player at Sorrento's Lounge in Lake Delton on the cusp of the Wisconsin Dells, who's the sidekick tonight, sort of like Mike Douglas's old co-hosts. You're doing a great job, Brian. You really are. Say hello to that's Ed McMahon.
Yeah.
Curtis Houck, joins us now for Media Busters on Short Tether. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, Mitch. Good to be with you again.
Oh, I'm sorry Penn State can't be in the Final Four, Curtis, but hey.
You know, it happens. You know, the one thing we'll hang our heads on is that we didn't get blown out. We never got blown out by anybody.
Well, that's true. Yeah. It happens all the time. I won't do that. It's Brian's territory. Hey, Curtis, we don't have a lot of time here, but
okay.
Your point is that Newsbusters, that Matt Lauer, because I'm wondering, you think he was liberal, right, his whole career?
You know. Oh yeah, well no, we have documented. He's been at this for two decades. So you know, the record of Matt Lauer is pretty extensive.
How does that tie into this whole question of sexual harassment, which is not a liberal conservative issue?
Well, I think the hypocrisy when it occurs with someone on the left is that they are, you know, as you see with Al Franken and John Conyers, is that they are.
Oh, they're still around.
Right. Well, yeah. They're still around, but they're. You know, the notion is that they are champions of women. You saw this with Charlie.
Oh,
Rose,
I see. Yeah,
talking about how he respects women, and he would be nowhere without the women on his show,
right?
And everything else. And I think that's kind of, you know, with these journalists and when liberals.
See, yeah. So you can be a liberal man. You can be a liberal man like Charlie Rose or Matt Lauer or Ted Kennedy or Bill Clinton, but you also want them to, you know, do things to you that you normally wouldn't ask a colleague. Yeah, I see. So it's hypocrisy in that regard.
They say that you know that they believe in equality in the workplace, and they do a lot of reporting standing up for pay equity and women representation.
So you're okay
in the
on the
women in Congress, but then behind the camera they're doing, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Well, didn't Gloria Steinem say about Bill Clinton that he's entitled to one grope because his record was good on feminist issues?
Nina Burley from, she was with Newsweek at the time, offered to give Bill Clinton oral sex because you know, if he kept abortion in the United States. Yes,
that's a little grisly, isn't it? For it's like the old Mary Hartman. I can only go so far on some of these stories, but that is grotesque, actually. But no, I know what you're saying. So public issues. Well, Anthony Weiner, wasn't he liberal on the right issues too? I mean, it turns out to be a pervert.
Exactly. You know, and he married to up until recently married to one of, you know, if not the closest aide to Hillary Clinton. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, I think that should be pointed out, that private perversion should not be allowed if you have a public record of progressivism and feminism. Is that fair to say?
It just makes the misdeeds even more disappointing or disturbing.
I still have trouble envisioning the waitress sandwiches, which we're told Chris Dowd and Ted Kennedy had. I mean, that's kind of a grisly image, actually.
That story is just, yeah.
I mean, I just can't imagine the anatomical, you know, performance there. I mean, more than I can bear. It's more worse than trying to figure out the magic bullet theory in JFK. Mm-hmm. But in any event, Curtis, no, but do you think we're going to move into a period where people condemn the, because we are seeing some people left of center going down the tubes here, Garrison Keillor and Matt Lauer today, so you got to be happy about that, huh?
Well, the interesting thing is, yeah, that the media standards are, you know.
But they're gone. Matt Lauer is gone. High.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. They're gone, whereas, you know, members of Congress, a few people have kind of had a very crude joke today that if Matt Lauer were in Congress, he would still
be there. But in fairness, the president is still there. I mean, you're not totally whitewashing his accusers, are you, Curtis?
No. And same goes for Roy Moore.
Oh, no, I agree,
But we're talking about, you know, we're dealing with, you know, taking one story at a time. You know, and I say to a lot of my conservative friends that say, well, we can't take stories on face value or else we'll get stories like Duke Lacrosse or the McMaster Nursery or whatever. But the issue is you take each story, you read each story, you listen to the women, and then you make a determination from there. And I think that's what people have been doing here. You read the Variety story about Matt Lauer, you read the Charlie Rose story,
yeah, right.
Or what the young women have alleged about Roy Moore, and you read that, and then you come away and be like, this is very credible.
It all creeps
so
me
detailed.
Out, yeah. My co-host, Brian Beebe, who sings in a piano bar, so far no accusations have been made against him in the last 24 hours, so we're happy about that.
Yeah, unless it's for, you know, unless he's really bad or something, but I'm assuming he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, he's, you know, I think he's only on probation for another 20 years. He'd be off paper. No, I'm kidding. It's a joke. Curtis, we thank you very much. Sorry about the short tether, but go Nittany Lions, and basketball is coming up, so I guess all you can say is wait till football starts next year. No, I'm kidding, but.
Yeah, you guys, basketball is okay, you know, for you, but not us.
All right.
We'll move on.
Very good. Thank you. Newsbusters.org, Curtis Houck. Thank you. Jed Sanborn next on the taxes. We'll talk about Brian's taxes. Maybe you need some help. I don't know.
Oh, lots.
Mitch Hank Troy, MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
As life celebrations bring people together, you'll be comforted knowing we have community rooms available for those who wish to serve food and refreshments before, during, or after your gathering. This is Pete Gunderson. We're here to assist with every detail. Learn more at GundersonFH.com. Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Hague.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Hague. How often do you take a case all the way to a jury trial?
What we do that's different from some firms is, when necessary, we take the case to trial. It's the ability to do that and a track record of doing that that gives you the leverage to get a fair settlement for the vast majority of your clients. There are lawyers out there who actually will not take them to trial. And it doesn't take the insurance industry, of course, very long to figure that out. So their leverage is minimal when trying to negotiate a settlement on the case. Whereas the lawyers at Atterbury, Cameron, Hague have all demonstrated an ability to take cases to trial. It's that track record that provides the leverage to get a fair settlement so that we don't have to take the cases to trial.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Hague and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hank Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hank Show.
All right, we got to get to the juicy topic of taxes, only because your taxes might go down. Brian, I hope yours go down too. Brian Beebe, our co-host here on the Mitch Hank Show, MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live. Jed Sanborn joins me, my accountant, and also the Mitch Hank Show LLC. Hello, Jed.
Hi, Mitch.
Now, you've been hearing all the talk about the tax cuts and, of course, the 24/7 coverage that it's going to hurt the middle class and raise taxes of the middle class and all that. You've heard that, right?
Yes.
And they're saying they can't really, in the conservatives I've heard on the Wall Street crowd, it's not good because they are not cutting the taxes across the board. They're kind of going after upper-income people in an unfair way, so what are we supposed to make of this?
Well, I have no idea how someone would argue that the middle class or anyone below is seeing their taxes go up. The second part that you just said about the upper brackets, I agree with. I'm not happy about that part of the tax reform, that, in fact, they're going to raise taxes in some ways on higher earners. It's kind of like Republicans have sort of forgotten what supply side economics is about, and or are just so cowardly of, you know, they're going to be accused of raising of tax cuts for the rich no matter what they do, right? So they might as well really do it.
Right. Well, if you're dealing with the federal income tax, because, you know, half the people don't pay it at all, right, Jed? I mean, they don't pay.
Not half the people. No, that's actually half of the households.
Okay.
And just by the differing nature of households, the bottom half of households is not half of the people.
Okay.
It's less than that.
So, half the households. So what I'm saying is they really wanted to do a targeted tax break or tax refundable credit, meaning cash or whatever the case, to middle or low income people, they would have done something else. They would have cut the payroll tax or done refundable credits or increased the earned income tax credit, something like that, wouldn't they?
Well, they are trying to do that. Yeah, there's a big increase to the child tax credit.
Right, and they're raising the standard deduction, correct?
Yeah, they're doubling the standard deduction, which while simultaneously getting rid of the personal exemption, so it's not quite a doubling of your you know, your deduction.
Well, so you don't pay federal tax. Well, of course, here's my question. You didn't anyway, right, on the first $24,000 of income? I mean, you didn't pay federal tax anyway on that, did you?
Probably not, unless you were, if you were a single person with no children, you may still have some income tax at that income level. Yeah.
So if they doubled the standard deduction, what does that mean? I mean, in the bottom line.
Well, for most people, it will mean that you have to make a little more before you start paying taxes.
So, you know,
so it's a tax cut.
Even though the single person who might have paid some wouldn't pay much, but it still makes it easier for you. Well, there you have it. So you, what kind of growth? Because the president tells us if we do the tax cuts and the corporate cuts, which they really want to do, which is the big part of this, it sounds like, they're going to bring all these jobs back and they're going to repatriate money that's gone offshore. And to that, you say what?
Oh, I agree completely. I mean, you take the corporate top marginal rate from 35 to 20. That's a tremendous incentive to, you know, move some of your business activity back to the United States, as well as repatriate money that is held offshore to the United States, which can be invested in the United States. So, I think that's fantastic. I'd like to see it even lower, you know, right. 20 is certainly better than what we have right now.
What do you say to people when they say, well, they don't pay 35%? You hear that all the time. They really pay less. Their effective rate is less. And to that, what do you say?
I say marginal rates really, really matter, because if we want businesses to grow and expand, to grow the economy, to hire more people, meaning more jobs, any additional dollar of profit that they have, even if their effective rate is lower because they may have some deductions or credits or whatever, but each additional dollar that they make will be taxed at that high marginal rate. So by lowering marginal rates, and this is kind of the essence of what's called supply-side economics, mm-hmm. by lowering that marginal rate, you are creating a great incentive for businesses to produce more.
Well, the Sherrod Browns of the world and the Bernie Sanders of the world are saying that they're making record profits now and they're not putting it into job creation. And it's trickle-down, and trickle-down never works. And you say what?
I don't know what evidence he has for that. It just sounds like just textbook.
How does he know that, by the way?
Liberal socialist talking points.
Yeah, record profits. And what does that mean? How do they know? How does Sherrod Brown know that corporations have record profits?
Well, we do have ways of measuring profits. Addressing is more this comment, oh, they're not creating jobs or whatever. You know, where is the evidence for that? In addition, let me just say this. When we're talking about corporate taxes, I know that Democrats and liberals love to talk about that as tax cuts for the rich this, the rich that. You know, what do they not understand that almost that a lot of Americans have 401ks and IRAs, and they have pension. You know, state workers have pensions. These are all shareholders of America's corporations.
Yeah.
Do they think only the rich have stock?
So when the stock market has 55 record highs, the closings on the Dow since Election Day, that's good for people with 401ks. It's pretty simple. I mean, right? I mean, you know, when they say, well, it only benefits the rich, or this concept of pass-throughs, meaning the people that file as individuals, that I've been told by Chris Cuomo and his friends in the morning, well, that's going to 60% of the people that benefit from that are going to be in the top 1% of income. What is he missing when he says that?
Yeah, I don't know that I believe that, because as an accountant, you know, I work with a lot of pass-through entities, and the idea that 60% are in the top 1%
of those who
that have an interest in a pass-through entity, I find that number to be not very credible.
So it sounds like you're saying it's overblown, the rhetoric that says only the rich will benefit from this.
Of course, it certainly is.
So,
and in some ways, right, we're almost punishing high income people by, you know, that we're not raising the top marginal bracket, and they're going to do a kind of a clawback so that even the high income people don't even get it to take advantage of the lowering of the lower brackets, you know, because everybody pays tax on their first, you know, income at the lower rates. You only pay the higher rates when you get into that income, which is in that high bracket.
Right. What's your quick answer to the concept that are making the corporate rates permanent, but the individual rates expire in 2027? I know they have fiscal issues there in terms of reconciliation, but what do you say to that?
I hate it. I mean, it's just our stupid government and their little rules where they try to pretend they're doing one thing and not something else. You know, they have to come in under their arbitrary limits for certain kinds of bills they pass. Hey, I don't think ultimately that's going to make much difference, but it is foolish.
All right, Jed Sanborn, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you very much, and good luck with the taxes.
Thanks, Rich.
All right. We thank Brian Beebe, our sidekick, who did his own show at 5. It was so beautiful, and you were gracious enough to sit in. Better than Ed McMahon could have done.
You are correct, sir.
Mike Brockerville, we thank you being our engineer. We thank the Kellers, Bob Keller and the Keller Real Estate Group, for the space here in West Washington Avenue, Tuscan Place, Washington Court, Whitcomb Square on the west side, all those great places. Bob Abella, the Wide World of Radio, is coming up. We'll stay around for overtime. You want some overtime, we'll do that too. But this has been the Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.